This episode of Podcast Tactics is filled with tons of practical podcasting advice. From interview prep to show promotion, today's guest delivers powerful strategies for starting and growing your podcast. Remember to join the mailing list at podcasttactics.com so you can keep learning about podcasting, get inspired, and stay motivated. I'm James, the host of Podcast Tactics. Thanks for listening. Let's get into it. Joining me at the mic is national real estate investor, jiu-jitsu black belt, and veteran podcaster, Nick LaMagna. Nick, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thanks so much for the invite, man. I'm excited to talk to you.
So you've been going at this for a while here. You've been going at it, I believe, since 2018. Tell us more about your show and what's the name and what's it about?
So my show is, technically it's called the A-Game Podcast, but every time I talk to somebody else, they're like, "Ooh, you should really put this in and take this out and semicolon this thing." So I also haven't figured out, sometimes when I look for it, I even can't find it. So I tell people the A-Game Podcast with Nick LaMagna, because when you put my name in, it'll pop up. But, you know, it started out as a show that I really just wanted to talk to people about real estate. And I started seeing that it's a lot of the same guys asking the same questions to the same guests whenever they're, you know, looking for whatever, promoting whatever. And I figured I wanted to start talking to people definitely about investing, but talk to other people from other walks of life. So it really got away from being a real estate show and more became about people who were just top performers. So that's really where the A-Game came from was, you know, my business partner has always told me, whatever you do, just, you know, go in and do your best. Bring your A-game to that, whether that's flipping properties, doing a podcast, scrubbing toilets, doing jiu-jitsu, like selling lemonade. If you bring your best to it, like whatever you say you're going to do, just do your best with it and bring everything you can. Kick that thing's butt and people are going to notice that and it'll bring other opportunities. So I like to just talk to people that are top performers, that have overcome adversity, and that whatever it is their thing is, whether it's music or acting or jiu-jitsu or real estate or podcasting, they're bringing their A-game, because that just, you know, tends to be the people that I level with, is the people that, you know, just bring their best to everything they do and they hold themselves accountable. So we've had rock stars and TV stars and some of the biggest names in real estate and business and UFC champions and some jiu-jitsu guys and astronauts. So it's been really cool and very different.
Yeah, I love the, you know, the concept behind the show, you know, the A-game. That's, you know, inspiring. That's what drew me to it. You know, I enjoyed listening to a couple of episodes. You know, I'm going to look forward to listening to some more as well. You've got great guests, a great interview style. How do you get dialed into these people?
No, I appreciate you listening. That is very nice of you to say. Thank you very much for support. You know, it came over time, but it definitely, a few of my friends, two of my best friends, shout out Mark O'Connell and Sean Cooper. They're in the band Taking Back Sunday. I've grown up with them forever, and they have done so many interviews with so many people they just did their 20 something year anniversary. So they've been around forever and everybody's interviewed them. They've been on Letterman and, you know, all over the world. And I remember them telling me how much better it is. They were like, "Dude, you have no idea. When we get somebody who interviews us and they actually do a little bit of homework and they have questions lined up and they get the information right, or they, like, they're truly a fan. They just, you know, they don't butcher our names. They know what they're talking about. They don't confuse it." He's like, "It makes all the difference in the world." He's like, "Because you start to dread all this press you do." And I listened to that and I was like, "Man, I didn't really think about that. I was winging these conversations a little bit with the stuff that I knew, but I don't want to be known as the guy that gets these big guests on finally. And then everybody goes, oh, don't go on that guy's show. He doesn't even." So again, bring your A game. I didn't want to be somebody bringing my B game when I'm going to talk to these guys. I want them to go on and be like, "You know what? That guy really, you know, he did a lot of prep." And so I started putting a lot of time into learning about the guests and digging into their past and figuring out what kind of things could relate to my topics and things that I enjoy, and watch their shows. And, you know, I like to say I can read all their books, but there's just, you know, you can't do that. But I do a lot of research, you know, like hours and hours and sometimes days and days. And I really line stuff up. And I, when I first started doing that, and then some of these bigger guests on, like some of the people from Reno 911 or MTV's Estate, they would write me back and say, like, hey, I really appreciated you going and doing your homework. They were like, and they said the same thing. They were like, people think we're on different shows. They butcher our name. They're like, they don't even really, they're not talking to us at all. So when you start to get people that reach back out and say, you know what, yours was a little different and I appreciated that you went the extra mile to learn about it, it makes you like, that's my thing. Now I have to keep that standard. So, you know, when the guests appreciate it and then they go and they tell somebody else, you know, that's how things start to go around, you know? So I don't know that's if that cool. answers your question. I tend to ramble sometimes.
No, that's okay. That's some really good feedback. I mean, you know, that you're getting on, you know, your interview style and how people, how you're, the rapport that you're able to, you know, get with people. I mean, we don't get a lot of time, right? I mean, sometimes it's 30 minutes, maybe an hour, a couple hours if we're lucky. And, you know, to get that kind of feedback, I mean, that's awesome. I do want to dial back a little bit, though, because I'm not sure if I heard it, but how did you start getting into celebrities and you know, athletes, get dialed into the getting them in for an interview?
So, you know, the whole reason I started doing the podcast was I think everybody has something that they wish they did more of. You know, a quote that I always say on my show and that I say to everybody actually is the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. Second best time is today. And I've mentored a lot of people in real estate and everybody always wishes they did it earlier. I wish I did it when your age. I'm like, if you're 40, you wish you did it when you were 35. If you're 80, you wish you did it when you were 75. And I found myself doing that with a podcast. I would start to see other people do a podcast or then post about how many shows they had or how many views they had or how many downloads. And I would always tell myself, man, if I would have started doing this a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And so one day I was actually listening to, my friend Billy Grazie Day, who was from the band Biohazard. He's now in the band Power Flow. He's a jiu-jitsu black belt and Gracie Torrance. So shout out to him. But he was talking to this guy, Jamie Josta, that was from this band Hatebreed. And the drummer from Pantera had recently died. And they were on a podcast together talking about how when they were younger and they were all touring together, they would see each other all the time. But then they got older. Some of them stopped touring and they have families or careers. So now, like, you don't really get to interact because you come into town to play a show. They're out playing a show somewhere else. So the guy from Hatebreed was like, you know, the coolest thing about doing a podcast was that it was my excuse to keep touching base with all the guys that we used to go on the road with.
That's awesome.
He's like, so I recently got to talk to Vinnie Paul on the podcast. And thank God I did, because this happened and I would have felt terrible if I hadn't reached out to the guy in like 10 or 15 years. And that's what did it for me. I was like, you know what? The coolest thing about me is just the people that I know. I'm not anything special, but I know all these cool people who do all this cool stuff. And at the very least, it gives me a chance to connect with some of the guys that, you know, if you're at jiu-jitsu or you're boxing or something, you get 3 or 4 minutes to round with the guy. They're trying to choke you or hit you or something, and then you switch. So you don't really get to catch up. And so I thought it was a great way to just touch base with my friends. So you feel weird at first doing a podcast. You don't know who to ask. So you start asking your friends.
Okay.
And some of my friends were real estate guys. And some of my friends were jiu-jitsu guys. And some of my friends were UFC fighters. So by default, I started getting guys from different things just because they were people that I felt comfortable being like, you know, will you come to my podcast? I felt like an idiot. So I kind of got my wheels wet with that. And then I loved the way that I found out that, man, everybody wants to get into real estate or have a side hustle or make more money, or they don't want to get hit in the head their whole life, or they don't want to be boring for their whole life. So it was a cool thing to see, like, what are people doing to get to this high level? And what are they doing on the side to bring something in to get them excited for, you know, life after baseball? And it was so easy that you realize, you know, I've heard somebody say this quote before, but I love that the fact that everybody who's famous or somebody or well-known or accomplished anything great is just a kid from somewhere. And that's like the story that you can get from everybody. You know, I don't care who you talk to. Everybody has something cool. They just sometimes don't realize that it's cool or a lesson anybody else can learn. So I just found it really different. And I started getting a lot of feedback from people of like, that's cool. I didn't know that that UFC fighter was into real estate. And I didn't know that that real estate guy was into UFC. And I didn't know that, you know what I mean? So it's cool to see the way that everything can start to come together. And that's part of just doing the research now is I just find like, what are parallels that I can pull in that the average person or entrepreneur or somebody who wants more at can kind of tie into? And it just really keeps fresh perspectives on the same thing. And I just enjoy kind of connecting to people from different sides of life that all have a little part of me in them.
I do want to talk a little bit about what you hate about about podcasting. What is it about podcasting that you hate?
You know, I'd say One of my biggest issues that I don't have as much anymore, but I started out having a lot of trouble with production guys and getting people to edit the podcast and take stuff from me that, you know, you try and delegate stuff because it takes time to edit. And then it takes time if you want to promote it. I do a lot of social clips and putting that out all over social media and then, you know, putting commercials in and intro and outro and music and all that stuff. And I found that like at first they weren't getting it done fast enough. So my episodes for the first like 4 or 5 months, they really weren't coming out. And then people don't really want to listen if you have like one here and then one 3 weeks later and one on a Wednesday, one on a Friday. So that got very frustrating. And then I found somebody who could do it on a good schedule, but they weren't getting my message. And they were doing weird stuff like the pictures that they would use and the titles that they would use and the stuff that they would put out was just not me. And you know, they're putting the clips out and the words are spelled wrong. And I'm like, dude, it's a whole game about bringing your best to stuff. And yeah, all my clips look like I don't care what I'm doing. So I can't have that. Like, it doesn't fit. So that was a little frustrating. So like parlaying into what you asked, it takes a lot of time because I wound up doing a lot of it myself. Thankfully, I have my buddy Brad Johns who's helped me out with a lot now. But I'd say that's the hardest part is sometimes when I forget to get stuff to him on time and I go, crap, I have to release a show tomorrow because it's so important to keep that schedule of like every Monday and every Thursday. I want to have that consistency and I'll have to stay up late and then re-listen to the podcast and re-edit all the clips. And I hate listening to myself. So having to listen to myself two or three times and do that, that's not fun. So I would just say the post work that goes into it is probably my least favorite part of it. The setting up and the pre-stuff of learning about them and what questions, I would say sometimes if you don't have a lot of time to do it, get stressful because you're like, man, I want to watch Netflix or I want to relax. It's like, you can't, you got to spend 2 or 3 hours listening to them as guests on podcasts. But that part's always cool because every time I do the interview and I get to bring up these things and have these conversations, I'm always happy I did it. So it's a long answer to say the post-production part of it is the part that I find frustrating sometimes and boring, but part of what I'm doing right now. So,
all right, let's look at the flip side of things. What do you love about podcasting?
I love talking to new people. And I love this. I love just getting, there is something different, especially now when you get somebody's undivided attention for 30, 45, 60 minutes. Like a lot of the times people don't even get that with their families. Like their wives and kids don't get an hour of undivided attention with Matt Serra or with, you know, I have on Monday, Jordan Harbinger's coming on. The guy gets 6 million downloads a month. Like, and you get to talk to these people and ask them anything you want. And you really get to know them and connect with them. And I'd say there's probably been like two guests that afterwards, I didn't feel like me and that person are cool. I can text him. We can like throw, you know, you want to be respectful of it, but like, you know, I can wish her a happy birthday via email or on Insta. So you start to know a little bit more about these people. And I will say the two things that I love, three things really that I love about it is one, obviously just getting to know people on a deeper level because it forces you to like put your phone down, cut everything out and focus on getting to know this person. And even more so, not really with strangers, it's cool because you're getting a new relationship. But with people that are in your life that you've known for years, that you get these new stories out about them or something that you said or did with them that they remember, that you didn't remember, that was a big deal. Like, that's cool, really getting to strengthen your relationships with your friends and family in your life is awesome. I love that part of it. But, you know, it's also really cool when they hear something or say something that it always makes me feel better. So sometimes you're not in the podcast mood. You know, you wake up early, you had a long night the night before, you got your days already piling up. I got 20 emails from people about properties and stuff. And I'm like all stressed out. I'm like, man, the last thing I could do is give an hour up now to go do a podcast. And then you talk to them. And every time you get off, it's like the roller coaster. You're scared on the way up, you have the anxiety, and then it goes down and you're like, man, what was I so worried about? I want to do that again. That's one of my favorite parts of podcasting is no matter how stressed or anxious I am about, am I going to run out of things to say? Are they going to like me? Is it going to be good? Are people going to enjoy it? When it's done, it makes my whole day better. And I take these things because it inspires you when you talk to anybody and they tell you about something great they accomplished and you go, they're a normal person. They have good days. They have bad days. It's not all rainbows and sunshine. Like there's days that they want to quit. There's fears that they have, but they push through and they get through it and they achieve these things and you can do the same thing. And that like you get off and you're like, yeah, Like, I'm going to go kick today's ass because that's how, that's just what it is every day. It's people have these problems and you make a decision to get past them. So I think it fires me up and helps me. It's like therapy for me with like my own thing to go out there and really tackle stuff. So everybody inspires me every time I talk to them, regardless of who it is or what they say. I find some sort of inspiration or motivation from it. And that's awesome.
That's really cool. I mean, I totally relate. Absolutely. 100%. I want to ask you how you've been going about promoting your show.
I spend a lot of time, I go through and I've gotten a little bit better at this over time and trying to figure out what clips to take, but I'll re-listen to the episode and I'll take little notes down because either I'll do a follow-up episode if I feel like there's enough things that maybe people might not have caught that I think could have a lot of good value. I'll go back and I'll do like a follow-up on like the Thursday after the Monday and be like, man, here's 30 minutes of just a deep dive into that episode. Here's what you might not have caught. Here's things you could take away. But while I do that, I also re-listen to it and I'll try and find like one to three or four minute clips that originally it was just things that I thought were great messages or great content or great pieces of the episode that if people are not gonna listen to the whole episode, at least they can hear this one really cool thing or this cool quote. But then people started, you know, helping me with that. And they say, you know, you should really find ways that you could take things and you could attach them to something somebody would search. So, you know, like instead of just posting like a quote or a funny title or whatever, like make it something like, you know, how do like investors find properties with no money down? Like, oh, here's something from James talking about that. So like little ways to try and tie it into marketing that'll help it rate a little bit higher. But I'll take those clips and I'll do like a thumbnail with a catchy title. And then I'll do three or four clips for each episode. And then I'll get them clip scribed and captioned with a headliner and things like that. And then I'll put them out on LinkedIn, on Twitter, okay, on Instagram, on Facebook, on my Facebook business page. Now I'm starting to put stuff on TikTok. So I'll put it across all the social platforms. And then I'll try and do creative things with the hashtags. Or sometimes I'll do a promoted post. And then I'm starting to get a little better with emailing. But that's pretty much all I do is, you know, I make those clips and then I put a clip or two out a day, every day, promoting whatever the current episode is and just say, hey, link to my bio or message me. And that's all I've been doing is kind of just organically trying to get attention through social media promoting.
Any YouTube? Are you putting anything up on YouTube? Yep.
I do. Yeah, I forgot about that actually. Yeah, so YouTube's another place I put it. So I'll put my full episode on YouTube and I'll put the clips on YouTube. You know, and it's interesting too, because sometimes I will... Like, I don't know where it's coming from. Like, so did somebody find it on TikTok? Did somebody find it on Instagram? And I'll look at my downloads sometimes when I'm trying to see what's happening. And I'm like, all right, it doesn't look like I'm getting much. And then I'll talk to people that I would have never thought listened to the podcast, or people will write to me or say something. And I'm like, where are all these people listening? Because it doesn't necessarily come through there. It doesn't show as views on my YouTube. But I do put the clips and the episodes on YouTube, but I don't do good. I don't really know YouTube well, so I don't do good at promoting it. But like, we just had the end of the year and I got whatever YouTube gives you at the end of the year of like, hey, here's your stats. You posted this many hours of content and this many hours were of people watching it. And I was really blown away by how much views and how much time people spent viewing those. But, you know, all I do is literally like I use Libsyn. So on Libsyn, I can post it right from Libsyn to YouTube and to my website. And then it's the same thing as like, I'll post whatever my 1 to 3 minute clip is on YouTube. And then I'll just basically take the same notes and copy and paste it all at once across all the other platforms. But yeah, YouTube, LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And I feel like there might even be another one. But yeah, I try.
You are covering it. That's nuts. Smart. I don't know if you're intuitively coming up with your titles. How? I feel like you're doing it intentional just based off of what you had just said to me about, you know, the extent to which you promote yourself. I'm going to shut up now and say, you know, how do you come up with those titles? Because they're accurate and they're great for search engine or algorithms.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. And I should actually pick your brain sometime about what I'm doing right and wrong there, because a lot of it is just me throwing darts. But it's funny you mentioned those two specific ones, because the Our Real Estate and Seminar is a Scam. That was one that I was just like, everybody's gonna click that, whoever goes to one, because it gets asked all the time. So that was kind of like a layup that just came across that I was like, it's a good topic. that I could get, and nobody's really going to know which way I'm going to go with it. But I'll tell you the next one, the Trey Taylor one, which I believe is my most recent episode. I'll give a shout out to a guy, Derek Vidal. I had him help me, and he looked through my stuff and he was like, man, your titles are good, but like you're putting too much stuff. And I just learned this. So it's interesting that you said, but he was like, you're putting too many things in the title about who the guest is and not what listeners are going to be learning. He's like, so you should really adjust it. He's like, you have a space to put all the information about who the guest is and what they do. But if people don't know them, he goes, and I have big guests. Like he said this, he's like, he has big guests on his show. He goes, and even some of the biggest guests, 50% of the people who are going to see that still don't know who that guy is if they're not in that world. He's like, so you're not really grabbing people's attention by saying, here's the guy's name. People are going to go, I don't know who that is. And then go, well, maybe I'll listen to it because of that. You have to give them something that they're going to read that title and go, that's something that catches my eye that I might want to learn about. Who the hell is that guy anyway? And then they go, oh, cool. He's a jiu-jitsu guy, or he's an SEO guy, or he's a website guy. And then they'll dig in. So Trey was the first person that I actually just started doing that with. I guess his stuff works. His advice works.
It's really great advice, you know, because people most of the time, I mean, they're in it for what's in it for me. You know, most of the time people are like, you know, hey, I've got a problem that needs to be solved, or they're curious about something. You know, I mean, a real estate seminar is a scam. I mean, I want to know, you know, it's just an invitation for me to go, yeah, let me find out. Let me listen to that. Let me learn something. How do you prep for your interviews? Do you outline? Do you wing it? A little bit of both? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so shout out to Dan Friedenberg. He's got a great YouTube channel, Figure It Out. He was a guest on a couple of my podcasts too. But I was telling him, I was like, man, I have trouble trying to figure out like if I have two screens or if I have the notes over here. When I'm trying to talk to somebody, I constantly have to like, you know, yeah. And I'm like, it's awkward because I don't want to look away when someone's talking to me, but then I don't read the notes. So he was the one who was like, dude, split the screen in half. He's like, you can have the Zoom window up and it's normal. And then you can have like an outline of a Word doc or something just right next to you. So I split my screen. So I have both of them right on my screen and I can see everything. But what I'll do is a twofold, depending on how much time I have. Like I have a few big guests that are coming on that I had a lot of advance notice for because I had to book them far out. So as I hear them post things on social media, or if I listen to one of their podcasts or a show or a song or just anything related to them, I'll keep their name on my cell phone in the notes app. And I'll constantly just add things whenever it comes to mind. Like that would be a good question for that guy. I even do it sometimes. Like I have one with Jocko Willink and he'll probably never come on my podcast. But I'm like, if I ever have him, these are questions that I would love to ask him. So I start to build those and keep those notes on there. And then it always opens up other doors. And then as it gets closer to that episode, I'll obviously look at their website, but I'll start to listen to podcasts that they're on, not necessarily podcasts that they do, because you'll learn more about the person when they're the guest. And sometimes there's guys that are promoting stuff that are on. I mean, you could spend days just listening to their podcast and you can get little cool stories out of there. Or I'll listen to their book or I'll listen to their Audible book. Or I'll go on YouTube sometimes and I'll pop in their name and you'll see them come up with funny stuff or, you know, really great interviews or things from long ago. You could dig up stuff from the past that like, that's a fun thing to do too. Like, hey, Michael Patrick Jan, who's got a great podcast about Michael Patrick Jan Can't Direct Traffic. And he's been behind some really big movies and shows. And I went on YouTube and I just put a playlist together and I watched like 6 hours in the background of videos and interviews of him while I did other stuff. And then there was a couple of sketches that came up that were great that had all these young guys in there that turned out to be stars later on. And I brought it up and he was like, I didn't even remember I did that. He's like, I can't believe you found that. So it's cool because it brings those things up. But I mean, for a 30 to 60 minute episode, I think between like podcasts, books, YouTube, and, you know, just a little bit of hitting some websites and listening to some recent press or interviews, you'll have, I don't think I've ever gotten through the questions and the outlines. You know, I'm always looking there going, I'll put an outline together. I try not to get too detailed, but I'll put like maybe 10 topics with like 3 or 4 bullets. And I'll say, like, if they don't say anything or they turn out to be a total dud, this will keep me busy for an hour. And it never comes to that. I'm always like, all right, we're not even going to get to 70% of these. This person's awesome. We're already going on this other thing. But yeah, long answer. I do keep notes on my phone. Then I put them on a Word doc and I split my screen while I'm doing it. And I try and use the Word doc as an outline.
That's a pro tip. That is a pro tip for sure. You know, and I love that you are actively keeping notes on people that, hey, sometime down the road, this person, you know, may or may not be a guest on the show, but these were the things that I, you know, captured, and I would ask them about that. That's really cool. That is next level kind of prep for interviews.
Thank you. It all comes from being unprepared. You know, you do an interview you're not prepared for, and you're like, man, this is a bad feeling. I don't want to do this again. So then you start to overprepare, you know, so it's all learning from mistakes, right?
What's one piece of advice that you would give somebody who is either new to podcasting or interested in getting into podcasting?
If you're interested in getting into podcasting, obviously, one of the big things I would say is don't do it because you saw Joe Rogan make a $100 million deal and think like, this is going to be my way to get rich. You know, that's really hard to work out in anything. You know, when anybody goes, oh, I'm going to start taking jiu-jitsu because I want to be a UFC champion like Conor McGregor, like the amount of work and time it takes to get that, and it's like the likelihood of getting there, like if you're doing it for that money and for that notoriety, your ego is going to take a really quick bruise when you put, you know, weeks into recording your podcast and you think you're spitting fire and gold, and then you look and you have 15 downloads. Like, it sucks, you know, and it hurts you at first. So don't do it for that. Do it for you and do it for, find a reason. Like, I kept putting it off until I found the reason of, it's an excuse for me to connect with my friends. And I did a handful. So one tip would be maybe do 5 or 10 episodes first before you release them. I think I had 10 before I released one. And then I was like, okay, you know, now I have at least 10 weeks. So if I run out of guests, I'll have, you know, a little bit of a heads up. So pre-prepare, do some episodes, get some people on there that you can get your feet wet with. But do it for you. Do it for the great conversation. Do your homework on the person because, you know, it's such a bad feeling when you're in the middle of the interview and you ran out of things to say, or you don't really know anything about them, or you screw something up. Like, no, that wasn't even me. I wasn't even on that. And you're like, oh my God, like you're down on the inside. So prepare a couple of episodes in advance. Do it because you want to do it and you love it, and be really engaged and do your homework on the guests would be a few of the big things that I would say for somebody starting out to prepare to do is, you know, it's hard work. So make sure you're doing it because you like it, not because you want to be rich from it.
Why should people listen to your podcast? What do you want them to get out of your show?
So I'll say my podcast is a little bit like Twitter in the fact that if you look at almost anybody's Twitter, they're all going to be different based on what is that person clicking? Who is that person following? What types of things are they interested in? I feel like my podcast is a little bit of that, you know, whether you're looking for a mindset, you're looking for some inspiration to do something awesome or to motivate you to do something different or get off your butt or just push through some adversity, or you're looking for tips on how to invest in real estate, or you want to know what it's like to be an athlete, or, you know, some mindset stuff, some actual direct advice on how to do something. My podcast is like Twitter, that you can go through the 115 episodes and you can pick 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 and really shape it to whatever it is you're trying to do, whether it's, again, investing or life stuff or be an author or just be better at your job or have a mindset to be more positive or connect better with people in your family or for your life. I feel like there's a little bit of something for everybody in my podcast. If you take the time to look through the guests, you'll find some things in there that you can take something tangible from and put it into your everyday life to help you bring your A game to whatever you're doing and just be better.
Let's get into a time machine and go 1 or 2 years into the future. What is your hopes for your podcast?
Obviously, you know, more growth, more downloads, more connections. And I hope that I can be better at what I do and find ways to bring more value to people that are listening and make guests feel important, make guests feel special, like they're getting their stuff out there. But I mean, really, there's nothing that feels better than when somebody that you didn't even realize is listening to your podcast calls you or writes to you or tells you that you inspired them to do something or help them do something that made the money or saved the money or helped their life in a better way. So I would say 2 years from now, I hope that I'm flooded with emails and messages of just people that told me, hey, I listened to your podcast, and not even me, but, you know, I heard your episode with James Lauren and he said X, Y, and Z. And that was the thing that made me go out and do something awesome or be a better husband or be a better investor or be a better wife or whatever it is. So I hope that I can just exponentially help more people bring their A game and do better things in life. I hope that.
That's awesome. You know, and I have to say that I feel like you're there. I mean, you provide so much value already, and you know, to grow on that, I look forward to it. I look forward to seeing what you're going to be creating in the future with your podcast. Before we wrap things up, I do have one last question for you. Which famous person or celebrity would you be excited to learn that they listen to your podcast?
I'll give you two answers. One of them is I got a happy birthday message from Matt Serra, who is one of my friends, but also one of my heroes. The guy's just amazing in every way. Like you can't meet him and just not be blown away by him. And he made a comment that like, hey, man, I checked out your podcast and listened to this episode. And to me, that was like, how freaking cool is that? Like that Matt Serra actually listened to one of my episodes. I didn't even know he knew I had a podcast. Like he's been on it now. But I mean, that to me was awesome, you know, because it was two guys that were friends of mine and mentors of mine that wound up being the two guests that I wanted more than anybody and was just scared to ask them. And to hear that they actually listened, like Longo called me and gave me a compliment and Matt did. And to me, that was like, this was worth doing it just for that. The follow-up to that is the only person who's turned me down for doing the podcast so far was Jocko Willink. So he politely was not, and you know, who knows what he had going on, but I hope that one day he turns around and goes, man, I listened to your podcast. And I'll go, you know, you refused to do it once, right? And he can go, oh, I'm so sorry. Let me do it. And I go, no, I'm busy. I'll call you. No, I'm just kidding. I would definitely let him on. But yeah, that'd be cool to find out one day that Jocko listens.
That would be cool. That would be cool. Nick, tell us where people can find out more about you and your podcast.
So I have the easiest email and website in the history of everything. My website is nicknicknick.com. So you can go on there and you can find like a bunch of different ways to connect with me. But more importantly, if you go on nicknicknick.com/links, LINKS, it'll literally bring you to everywhere you can listen to my podcast, everywhere you can connect with me on social media, and a couple of cool affiliates if you wanted some discount stuff.
Nick, thank you so much there are so many gems in this interview. There is so much that I got out of this. I am looking forward to editing it actually and re-listening to it because it was an absolute pleasure to pick your brain in terms of podcasting and how you create and develop and grow your show. The name of the show is The A-Game Podcast with Nick LaMagna. Nick, thanks again so much. I wish you the best of luck in the future.
Thanks so much, man. And one last thing is shout out to Gary Tonin. This is one of his shirts, your mom's favorite grappler. Gary Tonin, follow him, his Instagram at Gary Tonin, and go check out some of his t-shirts. So he's a funny guy. Just figured I'd give him a plug since I had his t-shirt on.
That's awesome. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks again to Nick. Check the show notes for links to learn more about Nick and his show, The A-Game Podcast with Nick LaMagna. Please share what you got out of my conversation with Nick by leaving a review on podchaser.com. You can find out how to do this in the show notes, and do let me know what you need from me to make this show even better for you. And make sure you follow Podcast Tactics to keep learning more about podcasting in future episodes. Thank you.